Good morning, church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2. If you missed it this morning, you missed a great blessing of hearing our youth talk about their experiences at youth camp. And I think it's a testimony to what goes on at the camp when you hear students talk about preaching over game time. And when we have a preacher who preaches God's word as it is written, and can get down to their level where we can all understand it. And I think it's just fitting, given their testimony and their witness of what happened this week and how God's used Ray McCormick to convict them of things in their life. And this morning I'm going to be talking about our blessed assurance. That's the name of the title of this sermon, Our Blessed Assurance. And we're going to be looking at a hidden treasure that can only be found in Christ Jesus. This is a treasure that cannot be found anywhere else. The world cannot touch it because it is ours, and He gives it to us freely as believers. And there was just one thing I want to point out on the slideshow that was before I get started on this youth trip. I don't know why Wade didn't get on there holding the fire extinguisher that went off. Yeah, boy, that would be a sight. I've been in those situations where a fire extinguisher went off in a vehicle before, and it's not fun. But I promise you, Wade, I did not sabotage you. And the issues they had with the vans, maybe they need to get a better mechanic, you reckon? But no, air conditioner. I don't know. That new van is giving us fits. But, you know, God's will be done in whatever we do, right? Right. We're thankful for air conditioning. We're thankful this morning for air conditioning, even though it's been nice. So if you turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll start reading. It says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for allowing us to gather in Your house, Father. Father, I ask You just fill this place with Your Holy Spirit, Father, as we get ready to worship You in spirit and in truth, Father. Father, I pray that You give me clear words and a clear voice to speak this message, Father. And I ask that You bless this message, Father. And this is a message that You want us to hear, Father, this morning as we look at our blessed assurance. Thank You for everything You do for us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So have you ever been fooled? I know I have. Who in here remembers watching magicians on TV? And they had some pretty crazy illusions, right? And if you ever got to see them at the circus, it was neat to see how they would do things right in front of us. You know, magicians have a way of getting us to doubt the things that we know to be true. And they can make things seem real that aren't real, and the illusions that they do fool us into thinking one thing when it's actually the other. And Paul is writing in these eight verses to encourage those at Colossae and at Laodicea not to be fooled by false teaching. Paul is warning them not to become deluded into believing something that is not true. And I pray this message will encourage you this morning. And will encourage every believer that hears it. If anyone who hears this has ever struggled with doubt, I pray you listen very closely to what Paul is telling us in this text. When you have received Christ as your Savior, you find hidden treasure. And I remember when I first discovered or learned about people finding buried treasure. I remember in school when we learned about pirates and how they would hide their loot on uncharted islands so that no one could find it. I also heard about how people would bury the cash in jars in their backyard because they didn't believe and trust in banks and they wanted to make sure that their money was in a safe place. And as a boy, I remember we would grab shovels after we learned about this and we'd start digging and just dreaming about the treasures we would find. And I venture to say that many of you would do the same thing. But getting back to our text, Paul wrote to the believers here that we see in chapter 2 and verse 3, that, and he says that in whom, that is in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you see, the greatest treasure we can have is the wisdom and knowledge we find in Christ Jesus. The treasure chest we need is the one that He possesses, and hopefully we have it with us this morning. The treasure chest is the Bible, and in it we find the greatest treasure of all, and that's salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul did not want the Christians at Colossae to fall under the teaching. He wanted to write to tell them about the blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. So with that, I have my first point this morning. We see Paul's concern for the truth. Paul's concern for the truth. In the first three verses we see, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, as far as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And this conflict that Paul is talking about in verse 1 is a burden that he has for his fellow believers. He's saying that, "I'm just wishing that I could sit down with you face to face so we can talk about this." And in verse 2, we see his desire, and that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together, woven together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. In verse 3, we see the key of this hidden treasure, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I love what Adrian Rogers says about this text here. He says, "Folks, don't let this get past you. When Paul says, 'Look, I am so concerned, I wish I could sit down face to face and heart to heart with you,' I don't want you to miss it. I want you to know all of it, not some, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Christ." He goes on to say, "What a tragedy if you miss it. God has treasures, and all the treasures are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is in you if you are saved, but wouldn't it be a tragedy if you knew Christ and you did not know what you have?" Do you know where to find what we have in Christ this morning? It's a very serious question that needs to be very seriously thought about before we answer it. Where do we get our knowledge from Christ? Do we get it from TV or from radio? Do we get it from the love-promoting individuals that we see on Facebook and Twitter? You know, the people that tell us how Christians are supposed to live their life, but have no fruit to show for it. They don't even come to church. Do we get it from our pastors who preach to us when we gather together? Do we get it from our Sunday school teachers? Don't get me wrong. Pastors and Sunday school teachers should be a good source. But what if I told you there was only one place to find this knowledge? This hidden treasure. There is only one place to find the knowledge of this hidden treasure, and it is your responsibility to learn it. It is my responsibility to point you to it. So how do you know you can trust me? Again, you have to be familiar with that one place. And that place is an object. It's right here. It's God's holy word. Everything we need to know and understand is found in this book. It's the most valuable lesson that anyone can learn. The Bible is God's treasure chest. It's our guide for living. And we see how we are to walk in Christ in this book. And I hope you notice that phrase, "walk in Christ." You see, I don't know everything. And I know that may seem like a shock to some. And others, the rest of you say, yeah, you got that right. But listen to me, I do know this one thing. And that's where to find the answers. And they are found in this book, in this Bible. By faith in Christ, we have the full treasure chest of God's knowledge in our hands. Right here in front of us. We have God's holy, inspired, and written Word right here before us. This book is better than any textbook we will ever read or own. It is the greatest textbook we will ever read or own. It teaches reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and history. But most importantly, it teaches about God and His provisions for salvation. You may ask, what can I find in this book? Well, we find in it instruction for living. We find in it instruction for relationships. We find in it instruction for a peaceful life lived in Christ. We find in it God's plan and a purpose for our lives. So what is the purpose of studying the Bible? The purpose of studying this book is that of learning and understanding the blessed assurance that we have only in Christ Jesus. Knowing God's Word protects us from falling into the ways of the world. And this brings me to my second point this morning. Paul warns us of the danger of enticing words. Paul warns us of the danger of enticing words. Picking back up on our text at verse 3, Paul says, "In whom are referring to both the Father and to the Christ, of whom all hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, that when we don't use the treasure chest of God's Word and gain wisdom and knowledge, we can be drawn away from God and enticed. You know, we should be gathering together every chance we get in studying God's Word. And every time we gather together and we open this book, and we study God's Word, we should be like the child on Christmas morning, happy and eager to learn what God is going to show us today. When's the last time we had that feeling? Do we actually prepare ourselves to learn what God has to tell us? So what does enticed mean? Enticed means to attract or to tempt by offering pleasure or advantage. It means we are persuasive, just like the text says. What can and does happen to us when we don't know or obey God's Word? Listen, when we do not know God's Word, we can easily be persuaded to do or to believe something through reasoning or by the use of temptation. We set ourselves up for failure when we do not seek the counsel of God. It says, Any man can entice you. So are you persuaded easily by man? If so, you can become a victim of a false prophet. Many are enticed and persuaded with science books in schools today. Many today believe the religion that Darwin taught. They are drawn away to believe in evolution, which is a lie from Satan that teaches that man and beast evolve. The Bible clearly states that we were created and how we created and when we were created. And He says that you and I were created in His image. Many are enticed and persuaded by men who have honey dripping from their mouths. These men give feel-good messages that don't convict and call out repentance from sin. This is a very real danger in our world today. We're seeing it everywhere we look. People want their ears tickled, and that's why they won't read the Holy Bible. They don't want to know the truth, because if they read it, they're going to get convicted of their sins. They will justify their own beliefs by writing their own versions of the Bible. If you don't believe me, just look it up. Don't take my word for it. You will find an LGBT version of this book. You will find it. It affirms homosexuality. It promotes a universal love. And they say since the word homosexual didn't exist in the vocabulary back then, that wasn't what God was talking about. God have mercy on them. Listen very closely. False teachers give false hope. They do. That's why it is your responsibility to make sure you know this book as well as I do, or any pastor or preacher that will stand behind this pulpit. People today don't want to hear about sin and the need of a Savior. No, they want to hear that they are just fine and just need to do good in order to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible tells us at all. They believe that God made them perfect in their simple lifestyle, and that is how they want to live their lives. That's not what the Bible tells us at all. I'm here this morning to tell you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you must seek Him out while there's time and repent and turn away from your sinful ways. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." He said all, not some, all. God's Word says we must admit to being a sinner in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, and He died for our sins. In verse 5, Paul says that he found the Colossians steadfast in faith. He says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." We can see the steadfastness of their faith in Christ gives Paul joy. Even though Paul wasn't physically present there, his apostolic care and authority were engaged in their spiritual growth. He delighted in what he had heard about them. They were standing side by side in unity under the access to the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge that only come from seeking God. This is what God wants us to be doing today. We are to be standing fast against the desires of this world. We are to stand side by side, standing fast and firmly on the Word of God, not giving into compromise into the sin-cursed world. We are to be as soldiers battling and holding the line and fighting on. We are to have a solid front that cannot be penetrated by the enemy. The Colossian church had such a reputation. So what would your reputation be if Paul was writing this about you? How is your walk in Christ? He says here in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in Him." Don't give up. You're doing good. Keep going. Keep pressing on. He's saying, in other words, given all this, keep going. Paul didn't want them to end up exchanging faith for a works-based Christianity. We must always keep our guard up. Always. His aim was to help us see the contrast between trusting Christ and trusting rules. Genuine salvation and sanctification happens because of Christ and Christ alone. He is God and He is our victory over sin. Many people today have the wrong idea about how to be saved. Some say you must follow the Ten Commandments. But James tells us something about following the Ten Commandments. In James 2, verse 10, he says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So we have a problem here. You see, we all falter and fall into sin. So salvation cannot come by works of righteousness, which we have done. In Titus 3:5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So you see, once you have received Christ as your Savior, you are to be walking in Him. You are to walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." This means that you are not to let the Spirit that you are to let the Spirit be in control of your life. How are we going to understand the Spirit? How are we going to know what to follow if we don't ever study what God has given us to learn? I pray you understand what I'm saying this morning. Don't go off of what I tell you. Go off what this book tells you. Read it. Know it. Examine it. Read it. Know it. Examine it. Time and time again, it's the most important thing you will ever do is knowing the Word of God. When you're filled by the Holy Spirit, He's in control of your life. When we fall in sin, we lose that joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know that joy can come back. That zeal comes when we confess that what that sin is. Do we have to own up to our mistakes? We hold ourselves accountable, right? We see several scriptures that show the Spirit indwells in us at the point of our spiritual birth. And that is the moment of salvation. Acts 5:32 tells us, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, of whom God hath given to them that obey Him. That obey Him. Don't make up their own version. That obey Him. It's important to understand that we obey God by believing that Jesus is the only means of salvation. Nothing else can save us. It's Jesus plus nothing else. People who think they can work their way into heaven only grieve the Holy Spirit and are powerless in accomplishing God's purpose for their lives. And this is the same for any professing Christian who is living a blatant open sin and refuses to repent. Today we see so many churches that are powerless, many churches that split over minor things. Today many fail to realize that we are fellow laborers together with God. We are not to be working in our own strength, but in the power and the strength of the Lord through the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is true for preachers and pastors as well. This makes the difference between preaching and a worldly orator. We have many orators in our world today. Many have television programs and large churches attracting great crowds. And these orators take the Bible and read from the passages in a captivating way. But that's not preaching. Because preaching must come by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must anoint the speaker and the message, or it's simply oratory and not cutting from the heart conviction. It's so easy to write a message based on feelings other than one that is based off of getting to God's Word and seeking through prayer and what to say and do. Pretty sure Brother Wade can tell you as well as I can, it's easy to write based off our feelings. And it's dangerous to write based off our feelings. We get out of the will of God and we make mistakes. The reason why so many churches today are powerless is because its members have for so many years not allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to move in their church. Church members are not holding their pastors accountable who don't preach the whole counsel of God. And while the preaching of God's Word should encourage us, it should also convict us. So if you attend a service after service and never feel convicted from hearing God's Word, you need to try to find out if it's the preaching or if you're just not paying attention. Today, many have allowed vanity and pride and selfishness and carelessness and worldliness. We're seeing that big today. Unkind thoughts and unkind feelings enter into the church. All these things grieve the Holy Spirit and hinder our walking in Christ. They hinder us walking together as a church. So many things we might add that cause Christians not to grow and be what God expects them to be. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They don't know the blessed assurance of Christ. They claim it, but they don't believe in it. They hinder the testimony of Christ. But look here, Paul says this can be prevented when we walk in Christ, and we become rooted and built up in Him. Verse 7 tells us, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul used this agricultural picture to describe following Christ. Rooted up and built up in Him is referring to a plant's root system. Plants without roots will wither and die. In the same way, Christ must be our source of life. What are we rooted in this morning? Scripture uses tree and plant imagery to describe us as followers and worshipers of God. In Psalms 1:3, you read, the righteous are like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And in John 15:5, it says, or are they branches abiding in the vine? Jesus Christ, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So when we are rooted in Christ, we will see His fruit in our lives as a testimony to His sustaining work to transform us to be more like Him. Are we rooted like a tree that is firmly planted and grounded in the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding this morning? Is our root system built up on the foundations in the faith of Christ? Are we established in the faith? Well, what does that faith look like? Well, we know that faith is how we gain salvation. Faith is how we are trusting Him to guide us. Faith is how we trust Him to provide our every need. Faith is how we trust and obey Him in the direction He wants us to be going in. Faith is how we trust Him to guide us in accomplishing His purpose for His church. And faith is believing all things work together for His good, not ours, but His. See, no matter what we do, He must be glorified above anything else. How do we learn this? By knowing God's Word. Paul urges the believers to live by faith so they would become firmly established in their work, in their walk with Christ. We do that by focusing our thoughts on Him and what He has done and what He is doing now and what He will do for us. You see, when we depend completely on Him, when we are obeying His commands and putting His teachings into practice, we will have an attitude of gratitude and will understand with true thanksgiving the full assurance and the blessing that He has given us. As we look back at our life in reflection as followers of Christ, we should have a life of gratitude. We should be able to look back and see the innumerable blessings that have been bestowed upon us. Paul taught that a heart overflowing with thankfulness comes from being grounded in faith. And in Philippians 4:4, he pled with the believers, even repeating himself, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. We're to be happy about it. Excited. So the third thing I wanted you to notice with me this morning is that we see the twofold warning against philosophy and legality. A twofold warning against philosophy and legality. In verse 8, we read, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ." The heretics here in Colossae are emphasizing human commands and teachings. They are emphasizing specific rules and prescriptions regarding matters from what one should eat to how one should observe the Sabbath. The result of these false teachers was a harsh condemnation against believers. What they said seemed right. Their rules had an appearance of wisdom to them, but because they originated with men and not with Christ, they were powerless to restrain sin and promote holiness. They were following the traditions of man. They were following after their basic principles of the world. Does this sound familiar today? The world is crying out today, "Did God really say?" Everything that we know is getting questioned and getting attacked. We see it on the media every day. Satan has attacked the institution of marriage. He has destroyed the family. He's even attacked common sense because people don't even know what a man and a woman is anymore. I can promise you, as long as I live, my grandkids will know what bathroom to go to. And there will not be a man going in there with my daughter. No common sense. They've given in to their lustful desires. And God has turned them over. He attacks the family. Men are no longer spiritual leaders and have lost the desire to serve a mighty God. And all this has happened because people today do not know the Word of God. They do not know it. People aren't out evangelizing today. You know, Christians don't do it much anymore. I'm not saying we're not doing it here, but as a whole, it's not happening. Satan has enticed many to break the rules. It seems that many, even church members, are not walking with Christ anymore because they are not rooted in Christ. They have become corrupted. Their Lord has become something else. They've been easily persuaded. They have given in to man-made traditions. They have given in to what feels good and easy. They are no longer after Christ and have fallen into Satan's trap. They've made up their own set of rules to live by. You know, it's much easier to follow rules than it is to follow the rule maker. And that's why so many churches and church members fall prey to this thing called legalism. Rules don't require a person to think, pray, or keep learning. They are static and they're manageable. We just got to keep people following the rules and we can get what we want. When we master the rules, we are meant to feel in control. Following Christ, the rule maker, might be less predictable, but it's certainly more fulfilling and the only way to grow spiritually. So we need to identify our own tendencies towards legalism and to confess that sin to God. We must be strengthened in faith and avoid this hollow and deceptive philosophy by means of sound teaching. We have to have sound teaching. False teaching is human-centered rather than Christ-centered and results in captivity rather than freedom. God's Word frees us. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it like this. You do not become a Christian as the result of human activity, not even human endeavors at its best and its highest. Becoming a Christian is all of God. So Paul is giving us this warning. Beware not to fall for worldly philosophy. Beware not to fall for teaching that tickles your ears. Be careful what you long for. Make sure what you long for falls in line with God's Word. Beware lest you be spoiled by those seeking vain glory. I don't seek any glory. I pray I don't. I pray that everything I do glorifies God. Beware that you don't do as the Pharisees do and fall into traditionalism with your worship. That is why it's so important for me to ensure that I am rightly dividing the truth of God. Ensuring that the Holy Spirit is my guide when I preach and teach. And I'm not leaning on just one commentary. I'm using 2, 3, or 4, or 5, however many it takes, to make sure that when I have a thought, is it based on Scripture? Ensuring I feel the guidance of the Holy Spirit in what I teach and preach. I'm thankful that God has put men in my life that have taught me to preach verse by verse. You know, we have a pastor here at Beryl who does just that. And I am very thankful for the man of God that he is. You see, because of this expository preaching, we get the full meaning of the text in its context as it is written. We get a deeper understanding of the Word of God. We get to enjoy the blessed assurance of Christ as we tap into the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge that only Christ can give. And the world cannot touch it. As we continue to grow in Christ, our roots will be the foundation that causes us to stand together, side by side, steadfast, to fight against what this world has to offer. We will hold the line through His power, through His grace, through His wisdom, and by His knowledge. As we continue to grow in God's Word, we will not follow after the basic teachings of the world. As we continue to grow in God's Word, we will not seek man's way. We will seek God's way and not our own. We will walk in Christ. So if you've received Christ this morning, are you walking with Him? Are you walking in Him? If you are a believer and have received Christ, are you walking in Him? If you have received Christ as your Savior, please walk in Him. Paul tells us to walk in Christ, to be rooted and built up in Him. And all is established by our faith in Him. We are to walk in Christ because we have received Christ as our Savior. Walking in Christ means leaving the world behind and following Christ because we have been made complete in Him. When you read on in this chapter, you will see that verse 10 tells us we become complete when we walk in Christ. Our church and our lives as believers will become complete when we walk in Christ. Is that not what we want to do? Do we not want to be complete in Him? That's our goal. Our goal is the finish line, to serve Him well, to fight the good fight. So I hope you can see this morning that our blessed assurance is Christ. So are you living a life of wisdom and knowledge that can only be found in Him? I pray you are this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet with you this morning, Father. Father, I thank you for the gift of salvation you've given us. I pray that we continue to seek out your wisdom and your knowledge that you give to us through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray we all examine our lives and make sure that we're serving the one true Master. And I pray that we get into your Word and we cherish it, hide it in our hearts, that we can become better servants of you and be light and salt to the earth, Father. Thank you again for allowing us to gather here this morning and worship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Brother Lee is going to conclude the service and song. I think the youth are coming up, Brother Knight. And so youth, come on up, and I'll be right here in the front if you have any questions, and Brother Wade will be out in the foyer. So thank you again. I pray y'all have a blessed day.
If you missed the 9:45 service, the youth gave a share time this morning, and they were going to be able to, they wanted to sing their theme song from camp today, and they didn't have time to do that, and we thought, well, hey, let's conclude the service today with their theme song. And so after they sing, you are dismissed. Any more announcements besides tonight? Right, 4th of July celebration at 7:30. Remember to bring a side and listen to this song. I know you'll be blessed. Y'all come around the pulpit, see.
Shine as the stars forever.